Get our Bibles open this morning. I'm going to get right into the message. We had a little extra singing there from the choir. A couple of things right quick while you're turning to that. I do have announcements to make. Now tonight I'm going to be preaching to the married couples, husbands and wives. So that means everybody. The kids need to be here. And all the potentials need to be here. So don't miss tonight. Don't miss tonight. You can get more help for your marriage from a Bible preaching message than you can a worldly seminar. Any day of the week. The Lord has the answer. The world don't have the answer. And there's nobody here has a perfect marriage. And everybody here could use some help. And it helps once in a while just to get soft up a little bit toward your mate. So tonight, I'll be preaching to the married couples. It's Valentine's week, and I've got some stuff I want to say. It's a little heart here. I'm going to preach about your heart this morning. I'm going to preach a little bit about your heart. Somebody said, there's over so many $1 million worth of chocolate bought this week. The average American eats 12 pounds of chocolate a year. That's a pound a month. I get my share of that, don't you? I mean, somebody ain't getting none. And I don't know why it's supposed it's got that reputation, but it does. Somebody said this. What did the boy octopus say to his girlfriend octopus? I want to hold your hand. I gave him some of these last night, but I'm not going to give them to y'all. If your aunt runs off and gets married, what is she? She's an antelope. One man said, he said, what'd you get your wife for Valentine's Day? He said, oh, I went out and bought her a nice belt and a bag. He said, well, that's so nice of you. How romantic. He said, our vacuum cleaner ought to work fine now. Somebody else said, here's what you say to your girlfriend, wife, fellas. I have seen thee, and thou art enough. How's that? Your words are my food. Your breath is my wine. You are everything to me. Whatever. All right. I believe in all that romantic stuff, but not at the point where it's sickening. You never lose by loving. Somebody said you never lose by loving. You always lose by holding back your love. One man said, it's not that I can't live without you. It's that I don't want to try. Amen? That's pretty good. Love is one mind in two bodies. I don't know about all that. Woman said, got up one morning and said, she said, I dreamed that you bought me a pearl necklace for Valentine. She said, what do you think that means? He said, you will know tonight. Boy, all day long she couldn't wait. And that night he gave her a present and it was a book on the meaning of dreams. She didn't get no pearl necklace. What did the boyfriend snake say to the girlfriend snake? How about a little hug and hiss? Did you know that out of every 100 M&Ms, this is the truth, out of every 100 M&Ms, 24 are blue, 20 are orange, 16 are green, 14 are yellow, 13 are red, and 13 brown. They got a formula to make M&Ms. I never knew that. Over 150 million Valentine's Day cards are mailed, are given this week. 150 million. It's a money-making racket. I'm going to tell you about St. Valentine, who he was a little bit tonight. And preach to the husbands and wives so you don't want to miss tonight. Let's take your Bible now and turn to Psalm 26. And I'm going to talk about your heart for a little bit. Psalm 26. Just for a little bit this morning. Psalm 26. The Bible said in Psalm 26, verse 1. I don't know if you know it or not, but the Bible mentions your heart 77 times. Psalm 26. Judge me, O Lord, verse 1. For I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. I want to preach this morning on a heart exam from the Bible. You go to the doctor every once in a while. Men, you start getting worried, afraid you're going to have a heart attack or something. And you go to the doctor and say, I need to have my heart exam. And they do one of them things on you, stress test, and an EKG, and all that stuff to make sure you're all right. Well, according to the Bible this morning, we need to pull in once in a while, let God examine our heart. And I'm going to talk about your heart a little bit this morning. And out of 77 times in the Bible, 31 are good and 46 are bad. References to the human heart. Technically, we understand that your heart is an organ right here inside your body that pumps blood. It beats 75 times a minute average. That's 40 million times a year. 2.5 billion times by the time you're 70 years of age. Your heart pumps 3,000 gallons of blood per day. That's 650,000 per year. And your heart does enough work to pick up a 150-pound man three stories every hour. Your heart does enough work to lift me up one, two, three stories every hour. Strong little bugger, isn't it? I mean, it's just that big, like that. And it can lift me up. Well, I'm a little more than that. But it can lift me up 2.75 stories and every single hour. Think about that. Your heart does that much work. And God keeps it beating. Now, in the Bible, as it is in many things, your heart is not just the organ, but your heart is the real you and the seat of your emotions. Is called your heart in the Bible. A lot of times people make fun of us for believing, well, you know, that Jesus is in your heart. And they say, your heart ain't nothing but a little thing that pumps blood. You Christians are so dumb and you're unscientific. No, no. The world out there that don't even believe, now they talk about your heart and doing stuff with all your heart and putting your heart into it. They know that your heart is also not just an organ, but it's the seat of your emotions. For example, let me tell you, it's not your mind. People say, well, your heart and your mind, same thing. No, it's not. Here's a little kid sitting here in school, and he's watching the kids out on the playground. And the teacher says, Johnny, yes, ma'am, what's 2 and 2? 4. That's his mind. As soon as he says that, he's out there, like he wants to be out there. That's his heart. His heart, the heart's you. Your mind just figures, it's like a calculator. It is 2 plus 2, 4 plus 4, and it just figures out stuff. But your heart is where the issues of life, the Bible said, come out of your heart. And it's different. It's not just your mind. They are connected, no doubt about it. And so I want to talk about that for a little bit. Now, there are 10 types of heart mentioned in the Bible. All I'm going to do this morning, I'm not even going to preach one. I'm just going to name them off to you and stop and comment. 10 types of hearts in the Bible. You may be more than one or two of them. First of all, the Bible talks about a merry heart. In Proverbs 17:22, the Bible said, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. I thank God that there is as a merry heart. You ever been around somebody that's just a happy person? A merry heart. I've had a merry heart a lot of my life. I've had some hard times in my life, but my good times have far, far, far outweighed the bad. And I enjoy having a merry heart. A merry heart does good like a medicine. That's why laughter, you know, they say that people say, boy, I was sick and everything, and I went to church, and boy, we laughed and could have had a good time, and I felt better. It does good like a medicine. It's good to laugh. It's good to smile. It's good to enjoy that. And I'm not talking about just a bunch of wicked foolishness, but we ought to get together and laugh and cut up. We had a great time last night. What we did in there last night, we laughed and cut up. And we played the Holy Wed game, and we had folks up, and we had just a great time. It's therapy. It really is. It's therapy. It'll actually make you feel better. You know what I do when I have marriage counseling? I have marriage counseling. I've done it hundreds of times. And I'll have the husband over here and the wife over here. And man, when we sit down, you can cut the air with a knife. I mean, it's so much tension. It's just, oh, Lord. You know what I'm talking about? When you're mad at each other and you're fighting and she hates him and he hates you. And say, all right, let me see. If you're going to tell him everything, I'm going to tell him. And they're ready to cut each other's throat. And I'll go in there and I'll say, well, I see you ain't killed each other, and just make them laugh. And you know what? That just does something. It eases a little bit of the tension. Never take yourself so seriously that you can't laugh at yourself when you make a mistake. You're not that important. You ought to be able to still laugh at yourself once in a while. And so a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Man said one time, he told this preacher, he said, oh, you preachers talk about your heart. Your heart ain't nothing but an organ inside your body. And the old preacher looked back at him. He said, I'll tell you one thing. He said, it may not be nothing but an organ. But he said, every time it hears the name of Jesus, it plays Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound, that kind of organ. Amen. And that's true, brother. Your heart will play Amazing Grace when it hears the name of Jesus. That's a merry heart. Number two, the Bible talks about a foolish heart. You know, there's a lot of people got a foolish heart. The Bible talks about in Romans 1:21, their foolish heart was darkened. These are people that forsake God. The people in the Old Testament that got away from God. They had knew God, yet became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. These are people that one time knew who God was, knew what was right, but they just got foolish. Let me tell you something this morning. It's a foolish heart that got out there and said that they'd go out on Saturday night to meet their friends for a party. It's a foolish heart that'll call up someone and say, hey, let's go out Friday night and hit the clubs and do the drinking and start smoking the dope and doing the partying and the dancing. It's a foolish heart. The Bible said their foolish heart was darkened. It's a foolish heart that goes out and forgets God. It's a foolish heart, young people, that sneaks out of the house at night and goes out the back door down to the bus stop. It's a foolish heart that lets that their boyfriend picks her up at school, at the high school, and skip school that day and then get back before it's over with and mama never knew nothing about it. It's a foolish heart for the man that goes to work and then he's got his girlfriend at work and keeps it all quiet from his wife. I've got a message. I've got several messages just this week from a couple down in Florida. The girl texted me. She said, Brother Danny, please pray, please pray, please pray. She said, my husband wants a divorce. I said, oh no, what's wrong? She said, well, he's been talking to some girl at work and now he's not happy. I said, yeah, I'm sure he's not. I said, that's as old as the kingdom come. Well, that stuff's old as a hill. Same old story, same old line of junk, same old lie the devil told Adam and Eve. I'm going to tell you something, that's a foolish heart that'll follow the will of the flesh like that. Amen. It's a foolish heart that doubts God. It's a foolish heart that sits around and says, I wonder if the Bible is even true. It's a foolish heart that sits around and says, oh, this stuff ain't nothing to it, no way. The devil's done got in your heart and deceived you. But I want to say thirdly this morning, there is in the Bible a deceitful heart. This is important. In the Bible said in Jeremiah 17:9, that our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know what that means? That means, you're not turn me down just one hair, brother. You know what that means? That means you don't even know and can't even trust your own heart. I've heard people stand up in church and say, well, if I know my heart, I know. You don't know your heart. You might think you do, but the Bible said the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. You see, this world, like that doctor was talking about Whitney Houston last night, this world thinks The world thinks, well, this person was raised in the ghetto and they grew up and all they've ever seen is drugs and violence. So they don't believe you've got a wicked heart inside you. You're born with it. And it's deceitful. And it's desperately wicked. That's why any parent in here ought to know that. You don't have to teach your kids how to tell the truth or tell a lie. They automatically know how. You have to teach them tell the truth. Tell the truth. A kid automatically knows how to lie. Where do they learn that? They're never taught it. You don't say, guess what? I can tell you how to not get in trouble. How? Well, if you tear something up, just tell your mama you didn't tear it up. You don't have to teach them that. They already know it. It's human nature. They're born with that heart. You know where they got it? From you. You know where you got it? Your mom and daddy. You know where they got it? Their mom and daddy. I mean, them little old kids, I'm telling you, they know how to be hypocrites. They already know how. No kid come in one time, as they come in and the preacher was sitting there talking to the mama. He is out visiting. Preacher sitting there talking to mama, and these two little old boys come in, little old redneck rough boys, and says, Mama, we caught that rat. When we Johnny stomped him like that and he ran around. I got the butcher knife and cut his tail off, and then we hit him with a baseball bat, and he looked over and seen the preacher and said, and then the Lord called him home. See, that's the way kids are. They automatically know how to hypocrite, don't they? Where do they get that stuff? How do they know how to do that? Because the Bible said your heart is deceitful. People, and let me tell you something about this deceitful heart business. The people that are out in the world are deceiving people like a drug dealer. Drug dealer saying, hey, come on over here, man. You ever tried some of this stuff right here? Right, come on, you know, again. And he's deceiving that guy, getting him hooked. But what the drug dealer don't know is, while he's deceiving that guy, he's being deceived. And the devil's deceiving him, he's going to wind up in prison, or wind up in hell, or wind up... It's just a big circle of deception out there in the world this morning, and everybody's deceiving everybody. It's like this. You come on the news, and you say, now, ladies and gentlemen, our economy's bad and everything, and we need a bailout. And we need a bailout. And what we're going to do for this bailout is we're going to print about $1 trillion. We really don't have it. We're just going to run the machines and print up a bunch of money. And that will get us out of the mess we're in. They're deceiving the American people. Now, let me show you what's happening. Well, that bailout business and stuff like that, the government says this. The government come on and they'll say, the economy is doing better. We have added 100,000 new jobs to our economy. But you know what them jobs are? When you print all this money, you got to have something to do with this money. So Burke County gets, you know, 400,000 and Catawba County gets 500,000 and McDowell County gets 200,000 and so on, and you distribute that bailout money. Then we go out here and say, well, we're going to do this. There's a crack in the road. Let's resurface this road. And they call the guy and we put all these men to work. It really didn't need to be worked on anyway, but see all these men we put back to work? When them roads gets done, them men ain't going to have no job. Then the bailout money's gone. The jobs are gone. We quit making furniture. We quit making clothes. We shipped all of our production jobs off to other countries. And they're deceiving us, but they're being deceived by the devil, and the whole blessed thing gonna crash one of these days. Right. Ladies and gentlemen, you hear me? You know what's wrong with our country? We quit making our stuff to support ourselves. That's what's killing our country. And it's because of the deceitful heart that a man, this bailout stuff ain't gonna work. It's like putting a band-aid on a snake bite. It might feel better for a little while. Then the bottom falls out. Ladies and gentlemen, the heart is deceitful above all things. It's like a man coming in here and they find a bone about this big right here. And they find them bones like that and they discover that bone and they say, oh, what an unusual bone. That could be a Tyrannosaurus. And I know that's got to be. That's got to be. And then they imagine this. The time they get through with that thing, you've got a dinosaur along near that wall over there. That's the truth. They've took one bone and constructed a whole dinosaur out of it. And they put it in the Smithsonian Institute and they bring all them little boys and girls in there, and the teacher said, see, boys and girls, look at the big dinosaur, because that femur bone was that long. And they don't understand, the Bible said there were giants on the earth in those days, and that was right out of that giant's leg. And they said, no, it was a dinosaur. And it was like that. And the poor little boys and girls are deceived, but alas, the devil is deceiving the teachers while they're deceiving him. This whole world is built on deception. One man said this. He said, just about everything in the world is a it appears something that it's not. The whole world is a big front appearing to be something that it's not. It is a deceitful heart. The politicians say, elect me and I'll solve all the problems. The other one, he's crazy. Elect me and I'll solve all the problems. The other one said, they're both crazy. Elect me and I'll solve all the problems. And then when he gets the nomination, I'm behind him 100%. He knows what he's doing. Listen, bunch of crooks. Ain't nothing going to solve our problem. It's deceitful heart. But I want to say, number four, in the Bible, there is a stony heart. In the Bible, there's a stony heart. Make sure you don't have a stony heart. It's in Ezekiel chapter number 11 and verse 19. The Bible said it's stony heart. What does that say? It's hard. Hard. Cold. You ever heard anybody say, that's a cold-hearted person? A cold. What does that mean? They have no feelings. No tears. Criminals, abuse victims, somebody's been abused mentally, physically, sexually, a lot of times have a stony heart, and they're abuse victims. They're bad sinners, get stony hearted. You visit men in prison, and sometimes they're kept in prison, especially when they're on death row or something, and they're sitting in there like an animal. They told some of them men, they said, what would you do if you could get out of here? And they said, the first thing I'd do, I'd get me a knife and I'd go slice the judge's throat that put me in here. No repentance, no remorse, just a stony, solid, hard heart. Ladies and gentlemen, and I want to say to all you church people, beware of getting a hard heart. Beware of getting to the place where the gospel can't get to you. Beware of getting to the place. You know, like a while ago, when the Lord was moving and people was crying, raise their hand. Watch out if you get to where that don't faze you anymore. Let keep your heart soft toward God. Make sure you can still cry. If I go for a while and I don't cry, I figure I'm backslid. I really do. Because I know when I'm really close and right with the Lord, some things affect me and I'll have a few tears come down my cheek once in a while. If you get to where you can't cry, you need to get your heart right with God. You're getting a stony heart. Ladies and gentlemen, you say, well, I'm a man. I don't cry. Listen, Jesus Christ was a tougher man than anybody in here. And he wept. He cried. He shed tears. Being able to cry is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of a strong man that cares about somebody. Amen. Listen, don't have a stony heart. Dangerous as you get older. Most people get saved when they're young. You know why? You know why? I talked to a man in the hospital over in Asheville, and he had had six preachers went to see him. I was the seventh preacher to visit that fella. Sitting there, laying there dying. He had less than a few days to live, and I said, you want to get saved? He said, no, I'm not ready. I said, what do you mean you're not ready? I mean, a man can't go out and party. He can't go out and drink liquor and chase women and go. He can't do it. He has died, but he's still not ready. You know what happened to him? He said no when he was little. He said no when he was a teenager. He said no when he was middle-aged. And if you say no to God all your life, your heart gets hard, and you'll say no to God right when you're ready to die. Amen! I'm telling you this morning, it's a dangerous thing to harden your heart. Amen. Don't harden your heart toward God. If you feel a little bit of conviction and you feel like God's dealing with you, hallelujah, raise your hand, hit the altar, and let God work on you. People, don't get to where it don't faze you no more. Don't get like that. Don't get like that. You say, well, I've been through so much, preacher, it just don't even faze me no more. You better get your heart softened up. That's what you better do. I've caught myself getting like that before. The Bible said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. The world is so bad, if you're not careful, you'll just get to where you say, heck with it, who cares? That's a bad, bad shape to be in, a stony heart. But I want to say, number five, in the Bible there's an obstinate heart. There's an obstinate heart. What does that mean? In Deuteronomy 2 and verse 30, it said they made their heart obstinate. Now, of course, you understand what that means? It means stubborn or rebellious. Never wanting to do what they're told. You will not. There's some of you sitting here this morning. You will not give in. You are stubborn. A mule couldn't hold a light to some Baptist Christian people that I know. I'm telling you what, stubborn ain't the word. You say, Brother Danny, my wife's the stubbornest person I ever met in my life. She said, no, I ain't. You, I'm looking at him right now. Now, the truth is, you both ought to give in a little bit. We'll talk more about that tonight. But don't get to where you're obstinate. You will not submit. You will ignore the advice of your pastor. You ignore the advice of your friends. You ignore the... Nobody can tell you nothing. You teenagers are the worst in the world. Nobody can tell you nothing. You know it all. Your teachers are wrong. You teenagers honestly think your preacher's wrong, your parents are wrong, and your grandma's wrong, and everybody's wrong and you're right. Do you really think that? You say, yes, I do, Brother Danny, because they... Blah, blah, blah. Well, I'll tell you what your problem is. You just want to do what you want to do, and you don't care what nobody said, and somebody you're going to find out the hard way you should have listened to somebody. Amen? Then number six, there's a proud heart. You ever seen anybody with a proud heart? Just a cocky, full of theirself, smart aleck. That's a nice way to say it. Proud heart. The Bible said in Proverbs 16:5, talking about a proud heart being one of the things, even one of the things that the Lord hates. You begin to think you're better than other people. One thing that's wrong with America today is our heart's been lifted up with pride. We think we're so great. We think we're so wonderful. And God said something about a proud heart. The Bible said pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16:5 said everyone that is proud in heart is abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 21:4, the high look of proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. It is a sin to think you're cut above everybody else and that you're up here and everybody else is down there and here I am, everybody. You poor, good for nothing. Nobody's down there. And this world is full of people like that. Let me tell you something this morning. You know what you are? You're the same thing I am. You are a sinner saved by God's grace. And if you got what you deserve, you'd be in hell. And there's nobody in here better than any one of them little bus kids back there in that room learning about Jesus this morning. That's right. Don't you strut in here acting like you're God's gift to creation and all that. We're all sinners and come short of God's glory. Amen. That's a proud heart. Somebody said, the bigger the head, the smaller the heart. The bigger the head, the smaller the heart. And if all you do is see people on TV, them people on TV is full of themselves. And if all you do is watch TV, you're going to start thinking you're like that. You know, they say that's why Nosebook is so popular. They say Nosebook is so popular. I'll mention to somebody later. They came out with a study on Fox News the other day that Nosebook is as addictive as cigarettes and alcohol. It's been, really? Oh, Dr. Abloh and they had all them. They said it's just a computer addiction is the same as cigarettes or alcohol. As far as they say, they surveyed thousands of people and they said they have to check it every hour or they just about go crazy. They flip out. How often do you get your phone and just look at it? Just look at it. Weird, ain't it? But anyway, I ain't saying that's wrong, look at your phone, unless you're in church. If you can't leave it alone for 1 hour, you are an addict, needs counseling. You don't have nothing. You don't have no message, no important than what you're hearing right now. So how did I get off on all that? Oh, that proud heart. You got to look at yourself like God sees you. Like God sees you. And they said, the thing about Nosebook is you start thinking you are the star of your own reality show. That's the way you view yourself. I'm the main player and all my friends. My girl showed it to me a time. Have you seen the pictures people put on there? And then they put, I love this one. Talking about herself. Yeah. What is wrong with you? Are you that starving for attention? Yeah. Are you dying for attention but you put a picture of yourself and say, I really like this one of me and my dog? How sick. Listen, that's a sick generation. You say, I'm the star of my own reality show. Whatever. Bless your heart. We'll put your name up here somewhere if it'll make you feel better. That's a proud heart. Number seven's a wicked heart. Let me hurry and finish these. A wicked heart. The Bible said out of the heart are the issues of life. Judas had a wicked heart. A wicked heart. Behind every ruined life is a long process of wicked thinking. Now, one of the smartest men ever lived said that, and remember that.
You see a man down here in jail, he's on death row. See a man on skid row. See a man in rehab. That don't happen overnight. Behind every ruined life is a long process of wicked thinking. That's why, kids, you got to realize it does matter what you sit around and think about. Because the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You have to learn. You say, well, I can't control my thought. You can't stop the devil from putting a bad thought in your head once in a while. Like the old Bob Jones him used to say, said, I can't stop a bird from flying over my head, but I can stop him from building a nest in my hair. You don't have to. You can clean your thought by the Bible and not listening and looking. Turn rap music off. Turn the bad TV off. Put the Word of God in your heart, and you will have far, far less wicked thought. The more junk you put in, the more wicked you're going to think, because your heart's already wicked in response to that. That's a wicked heart. You say, my heart's not wicked. They had a girl on TV this week, 15-year-old, Alyssa Bustamante. I think that's the way you pronounce her name. She's up north. When she was 15, she killed that little 9-year-old girl. Did you see that? They sentenced her this week. She said this, I strangled her and then slit her throat and stabbed her, and now they're dead, like plural, like it was two people. 15-year-old girl held a 9-year-old girl down and sliced her throat and stabbed her. That's hard to believe. Here's what she said. I really don't know how to feel at the moment. It was amazing. As soon as you get over the, oh my God, feeling, it's pretty enjoyable. I'm kind of nervous and shaky right now, but I got to go to church. LOL. That was a quote from her after she killed that girl. You say, Brother Danny, was she crazy? Uh-uh. Something wrong with her brain? She had a wicked heart. The only thing to make a person do something like that is a wicked heart. And we sit here this morning and say, my goodness, how in the world anybody could do something like that? But the truth is, ain't one of us in here this morning that don't have that same kind of heart. Under the right circumstances, the wrong time, the wrong place, the wrong atmosphere, we're capable of committing any sin in the book. You say, I would never do. I wouldn't say that if I was you. There's been bigger, better people than you said stuff like that. You better realize you've got a wicked heart and you need it cleaned every day in the blood of Jesus. That's what you better realize. Amen? You can't trust your heart. I've heard them go on TV and say, just follow your heart. Well, that's some sorry advice. You better follow that book right there. You can only follow your heart as it follows the Bible. Somebody said, let your conscience be your guide. That's terrible advice. Your conscience can be seared. Your conscience is only a safe guide as long as it stays in the confines of the Word of God. Right here's the only thing you can trust. Sometimes your heart's liable to tell you anything. I'll say this and I'm through. I'll just leave off the rest of these. There's a willing heart. There's a willing heart. In Exodus 35 and verse 5, the Bible talks about a willing heart. And you know what every one of us need this morning? Our heart, and it ain't shaped like that. I don't know where that come from, but I guess that's prettier than the way it really is shaped. That would look weird if you put that up here. But when you see that right there, you think of your heart. They said one time, this little girl, it was Valentine's Day, and they was all giving Valentine's at the supper table, and she came to the table and she was crying. She was about 5 years old, six, and she was crying and wouldn't look up, and her mama kept saying, honey, what's wrong? And she just kept shaking her head like that and shaking her head like that. And she looked at her daddy and she said, Daddy, I made you a Valentine. But she said, I ruined it, so I just threw it away. He said, honey, it's all right. I want it. I still want it. She said, no, I'm not giving it to you. I ruined it. It's awful. He said, honey, I still want it. And they went in there in her room, got it, and she'd cut it, tried to cut out a Valentine. She cut it crooked and cut her finger, and it had blood on it and everything, and she just wadded it up and threw it away. And he got it out there and smoothed it out, you know, and everything. He said, oh, I love this Valentine. I want it, honey. She said, Daddy, I messed it up. I messed it all up. It's got blood on it and it's wrinkled. It's just a big mess and it wasn't nice enough, so I just wasn't going to give it. He said, no, honey, just knowing that you want to give it to me means a lot means the world to me. And you may be sitting here this morning and feel just like that. You may be thinking, the Lord don't want me. My heart's a mess. Come on, Miss Desi. You ever felt like that? Like, Lord don't want me. I've sinned so much, God don't want me. I'm wicked. I've crinkled it up and it's a mess. And the Lord's up there saying, yeah, I do. I want it. You bring that heart to Him this morning just like it is. He wants it. Let's stand by here for prayer.